I love listening to Cape Talk when I'm not on the radio because you get to learn so much. And, you know, being a producer on the station as well, you are exposed to new things all the time, which makes your job very exciting and very interesting because, you know, there's so much happening around us that we just don't have time to keep up with everything. So yesterday, this email popped up in my inbox, and it is titled The African Bioacoustics Conference, and they're bringing together researchers studying animal sound and hearing. Now, it's something that we don't pay much attention to unless we're really involved in that particular kind of work. So, with industrialization comes noise pollution. With bigger cities comes light pollution. This is why we cannot really see the stars at night when all the lights are burning. So, you know, it's going to be this conference is hosted by the Sea Search and Stellenbosch's University's Department of Botany and Zoology. And there are going to be many presentations, more than 80 presentations, and from leading scientists. But one of the speakers that will be there is Dr. Tess Gridley. And Dr. Gridley is the founder of the African Bioacoustics Community and co-director of Sea Search. Tess, thank you so much for joining me this morning here on Cape Talk. Why is this initiative so important?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Well, it's really important in terms of growing the field of acoustic research in Africa. So we know that bioacoustic science is really important for many different reasons. So for studying animal behavior, but then also for more applied reasons. So looking at sort of conservation applications and things like that. There are a lot of reasons why getting information on how animals call and then using that information to monitor animals, and also we're having a special session on the hearing of harms, actually monitoring illegal activity in rainforests and things like that, is really important.
It's something I want us to talk about in a little bit more detail in terms of monitoring the illegal activities. But why is sound so important to fishes, birds, etc., etc.?
Sure. So many species are very acoustically orientated. So they rely on sound and communication throughout all of their daily interactions with each other. And I mean, I work in the marine environment, so I work a lot with dolphins and whales. And particularly in that environment, it's a really key sensory modality, a key aspect of their lives to be able to communicate and also to find food. So sound is really important to a whole range of different species. And then also, as you touched on, with increasing industrialization, there's a greater amount of noise being generated by, in the marine environment, things like ships and seismic exploration, and then also things like cars driving and things like that. And everything like that can lead to impacts on our wildlife.
So have you noticed any behavioral changes, maybe stress, as a result of increased noise by industrialization, ships in the sea with their big engines, etc., etc., and the impact this is having on marine life?
Yeah, so as I said, I study mostly whales and dolphins, but it translates also to other species, like many species of fish. You know, the most basic impact that this noise can have is it can mask the sounds that they use to communicate to each other. And that can lead to reduced chances to find mates and also to just work in their environment. And then if you sort of move from that quite minimal impact to larger scale impacts, such as stress and then also direct hearing damage from really loud and noisy activities. And so it's across the range from behavioral disturbance and changes in behavior all the way across to direct impacts. And it can, you know, large sounds and mid-frequency sonar and things like that can lead to death events.
I suppose that is the ultimate we want to avoid. But obviously, I would think, and I'm assuming here, that it could also have an impact on reproduction in terms of, if a whale births in False Bay and there's a lot of noise pollution, it would go off somewhere else and end up in a place where it may not be suitable for it to give birth. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, so there's not a lot of research on that in our waters around South Africa, but definitely from other places, there are, you know, short-term behavioural impacts of noise, and that can disrupt the behaviour of animals. And as you say, there are certain times in an animal's life when they can be particularly susceptible to noise impacts, and mothers and calves is a great example of that. And really, one of the reasons why we're building this African bioacoustic community is to try and answer some of these questions for the species that we find both in our marine environment, but also in the terrestrial environment that we have. So that's one of the reasons really for getting people involved in this initiative.
And obviously, it's vital if we are to preserve marine life and so forth, to provide the training opportunities for studies for students, especially within the continent.
Yeah, with a lot of species, you see geographic differences, so differences from one place to the next in terms of their acoustic behaviour. And for that reason, it's difficult to translate information we've got from, say, America or somewhere else in the world to the species that we have here in Africa. So for that reason, it's really quite important to do the research on the species and the habitats that we've got in Africa and really gain information from within the continent.
Just talk us through some of the important talking points as part of this year's conference. What are some of the features?
Sure. So one of the features we've got is a plenary on bird hearing. So it's a special talk on bird hearing. And that's something that, again, we don't know a lot about from species that we have. So say the Cape cormorant, African penguin, things like that. We also have a talk on the effects of sound on fish. And again, that has implications for commercial fisheries. If we have too much noise in the environment, it may actually impact the commercial fish stocks. We've got special sessions, so training on the basics of bioacoustics and the hearing of harm, so feeding into that conservation aspect, and a special crossover day with the conservation symposium, so really opening up to actually another conference that's working simultaneously next week, the 2nd to the 5th of November. And then we've also got a special movie night, which is open to the general public and also to filmmakers. So there's quite a lot going on during the conference.
The conference runs from the 2nd to the 5th of November. How do you register, Tess?
Sure. So all the information is online. So if you just Google or put into your search engine African Bioacoustic Community, all the information should pop up there on the website. And then also we've got dedicated social media pages through Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And then also if anybody needs extra information, they can also contact the email at africanbioacoustics@gmail.com.
Dr. Tess Gridley is the founder of the African Bioacoustics Community and co-director of C-Search at University of Stellenbosch. And they will be hosting their second African Bioacoustics Conference from the 2nd to the 5th of November. The conference really looking at how increased industrialization and industrial noise pollution affects animal behavior and how acoustic monitoring is being used to monitor illegal activities, including deforestation, poaching, and blast fishing. That coming up